5, Matthew 5 and verse number 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. We'll have the message, and then afterwards, if any of you need to receive Christ as your Savior, we'd love to talk to you after the sermon or come forward at the altar call, and somebody will be glad to show you about eternal life and salvation from sin. And don't leave without the Lord. Matthew 5:16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to speak this morning about humility and glory. Humility and glory. I heard a radio debate this week about the poor fella that was hurt in the football game last week, and very severely, and I hope you're praying for him, and I tried to pray for him, and some people like him. I try to pray for them every day. People like Frank Borzolari, I know some of you know him, and people are trying to help him, and Michael Broughton and Jake Mass, some of those folks with such severe injuries. But there was a debate going on a radio talk show. It was a sports talk show. I don't listen to them much. For some reason, I flipped it on, and they were debating back and forth because some doctor came out with some prognosis that, you know, we think he's going to walk out of the hospital someday, and people, this is a miracle, and so on. So they were trying to figure out who should get the glory for this on the radio show. And those that were running the radio show said, you know, we need to give the credit to the doctors and all the wisdom they have and the knowledge and the years of experience and all the advancements in technology and so on and so forth. And others were saying, no, we should give the glory to God. And, you know, he's alone the one that does the miracle. And how do you balance this? I think there's another position, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, and that we need to be humble about these things. And I think there are times when we really need to honor men and women and thank them for what they've learned. These doctors have spent a lot of time studying, and they have done a lot of research. And we need to be very careful that we are very grateful for what they do. Today, we live in a blessed day of tremendous advancements in the medical field, and we ought to honor people and their hard work and discipline. These are disciplined people in the medical field. These aren't lazy people. Now, some may be believers, some may be atheists, some may be agnostics, but I thank God for them all, and just the diligence that they have spent. And I know they, you know, in most cases earn a lot of money, but man, you got to have something more in your heart than a desire for money to do the things these people do to help others. But, you know, we ought to be careful also that we give God the glory for giving men such knowledge and giving men such wisdom. And I think it's best when we understand that God and man should be working together on these things. It's not man or God, or God or man, but it's God and man working together. And that's so true in many, many areas. Man's chief end is to glorify God. That's why we exist. It doesn't matter what you do. The chief end of your life is to bring glory to God. That's why you and I were made. One man was made blind. And you can read about his story in John chapter 9. And people had strange ideas of why he was that way. And they said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Did he sin or was it his parents' fault? And Jesus said, it has nothing to do with sin whatsoever, but that the glory of God should come out of this situation. See, it doesn't matter who you are or how God made you. The chief end of man and women is to glorify God the way we are. Through the talents God has given us, through the education we have received, in our families, in our churches, in society, in all of life, we are to glorify God. And we should live in such a humble way that it says in our text, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this is where we need to have some care come in. They should be able to see you and I doing good works, whatever it might be, whatever our gift or calling in life is. We should be able to do that, but we ought to be so humble that people would realize that God should get the glory for what we have done. I hope that will make sense as we go along here. But I want to look at a little instruction. If you'll turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 in the New Testament, a little bit of instruction here. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. I want to read a series of verses here about this subject of glorying. Glorying. Because I really think there's a great fault in America in this area of glorying. Notice in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 29, it says this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Wow. It's one of those nutshell verses that kind of says it all. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It doesn't matter how educated a person may be, no matter how talented they may be in music or athletics or whatever, it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. No matter how handsome a man may be or how beautiful a woman might be, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We ought not to glory in the presence of God. Look at verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Every one of us needs to be careful that we glory in the Lord, especially those of you who are very talented, especially those of you who are very bright, who are very educated, who might even be very brilliant. You need to be very careful that you glory in the Lord. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 21. There is no 2:21. All right, well, let's try chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, we can throw that right out of America. Our whole country, all the entertainment industry is based on glorying in men. All the sports in America is based on glorying in men. And so much of the education and so on and so forth is based on men glorying in men. And the first thought we often have is, let's glorify this man or this woman who did such and such for their accomplishment. Yet the Bible is clear, and it says the opposite. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. What he's saying here is that he, Paul, and Apollos, and Peter, back in chapter 3 and verse 22, had become very famous in the first century church. And they became so famous that the church began to divide over them. And some began to say, I'm of Cephas, Peter, I'm following Peter. Others said, I'm following Apollos. And others said, I'm following Paul. And then there was others said, well, we're following Christ. And there was this schism, these divisions in the body of Christ. And so Paul writes to this church and corrects this and says that we should learn, chapter 4, verse 6, everyone should learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And we have got to be careful that even not only in the world, but also in the church, we don't start saying, well, he's my favorite preacher, he's my favorite preacher, and so on and so forth. A lot of these men are dying off. They're good men. James Kennedy, the great Presbyterian preacher, from what I heard, just went to be with the Lord from Coral Ridge down there in Florida. We went by his church, and What a man of God, Presbyterian. What a soul winner he was. Now, I don't agree with all of his doctrine, everything he said. Jerry Falwell died this year. Lee Roberson, Tom Malone, some of these great, great men. And if we're not careful, we're going to start putting ourselves in camps behind these men. The Bible says, no, we should not glory in preachers. We ought to glory in God. You know, it says even when Jesus went around doing miracles, it says, and they glorified God that he had given such power unto men. They glorified God that he had given such power unto men. And so if somebody's a miracle worker or somebody's prayers get through to God and people are healed or somebody can preach nice sermons or sing nice songs or play an instrument well or whatever it might be, we need to glorify God who gave that person the ability. Now, maybe that person developed it and worked hard at it, and we ought to honor them for that. And we ought to thank them. You know, thank you for practicing the piano for so long. It blesses my heart. But we ought to thank God who invented music and the laws of music before man ever discovered it and then put it in people's hearts to do that. We ought to thank the Lord that he puts it into the hearts of some people to blacktop roads. I wouldn't know how to do that. Thank the Lord that he puts it into some people's hearts to know how to cook. And he puts it in some people's hearts. You know, I go to the nursing home sometimes to see Dad and others, and every time I walk out of there, I always say the same thing. I look at the nurses and attendants and I say, you people are better than I am. I could never do this. I could never do this. I thank God for you. And I glorify God that for some reason, whether the people are saved or unsaved that are working as doctors and nurses, I don't care if they're saved or unsaved, God put it in their heart. You ever notice how smoothly this world runs? Even amongst the unsaved, God puts it in some people's hearts to be nurses, and God puts it in some people's hearts to be prison guards. And God puts it in some people's hearts to study law, and God puts it in some people's hearts to cook, and some people's hearts to trim trees that blow down. And on we can go. The whole world is just amazing. God puts it in some people's hearts to make cars and some people to fix computers and some people to take care of babies. And it's just so amazing to see. And we ought to glorify God for doing this. I think the world, you know, the world's got some hatred in it and pride and wars and stuff. That's man's fault, not God's. What God has done is running pretty smoothly. Well, he's running pretty smoothly, and he keeps shifting people around with gifts and callings into this type of employment and this type of employment and this type of employment and so on and so forth. And it's just a fascinating thing to watch the human race and to see what people do for each other. Some people pump gas. Some people deliver gas. And some people run restaurants and others run nursing homes and hospitals and prisons and the government and schools and churches and so on. That stuff's amazing. Only God can do that. We need to be careful that we give God the glory. Give God the glory. In our text, it implies that we should be so humble that when people see our good works, they glorify our Father which is in heaven. It should be our practice to deflect all glory that may be given to us back to him. It's okay to receive some honor or thanks once in a while, but the glory of God is a sacred trust that he will not share with anyone else. Turn back to Isaiah chapter, by the way, before you leave here, go to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I'm glad that they made me memorize this very early in my Christian life when I was just a boy. This was one of the memory verses I learned. It says, whether therefore ye eat, chapter 10, verse 31, or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. We ought to eat, you know, every time we eat, we ought to at least bow our head and thank the Lord that somebody prepared that food, somebody picked it, somebody shipped it. And God let us live in a country where we have so much of it. I can't get over that sometimes, how much food we have in our country. We ought to thank the Lord for it. Give us this day our daily bread, and we ought not to take it for granted. It may change someday. I hope not. If I like eating. We ought to thank the Lord for what we can drink. We're blessed here. It says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything, even eating and drinking. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still alive and able to take nourishment today. I'm able to do something today. Back in Isaiah now, chapter 42. Very important verse. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. It says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Now, it's okay to thank somebody. It's okay to honor somebody and say, thank you for playing the piano for 10 years. It's okay to do that. But he says, my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. See, the glory of God is sacred. And there is a divine jealousy about it. He said, I will not allow anyone to take my glory. That belongs to the Lord. So let's not give glory to men. You know, we can kill people by giving glory to men. You know that? Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12. Verse 21 says this, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. He made a big speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now, God put that in the Bible for something, folks. He doesn't just take up space. We need to be careful about glorifying man. You see, Herod here, first of all, was eaten up with pride, and then he's eaten up with worms. Why? Because people begin worshiping man. That's called humanism, when we worship man for his accomplishments. They said, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. It doesn't matter who we are, how famous we become, how talented we become, even if we should rise to a point of leadership like Herod. And you read some of the things Herod did. He did some amazing things. He rebuilt that temple. It took him 46 years. 46 years. It's a long time in building. But he made a fatal mistake here. He took the glory for his talents. Took the glory. Should have deflected it. Said, no, no, I'm not a god. Remember Paul and off on Melita, the island. And he healed, was it Publius's father, sick of a fever? I don't know if I'm getting the story right. Acts 27, 28, one of those chapters. And they started bringing garlands and all kinds of presents to him, and they started worshiping him and calling him this, that, and the other. And he said, no, no, no. He ran in there and said, no, we're men of like passion as you are. No. They started worshiping him, and he stopped them. He stopped and said, no, we're just men of like passions as you are. We're just doing what God called us to do. That's all. See the contrast in these two stories? This is serious business today. We need to be humble as human beings. And no matter who we are or whatever we become, like Sam just sang, I didn't get all the words, but he just sang something about not who I am, but who you are. Not what I've done, but what you've done through me. Something like that. You know, let me get practical here. When we see a skyscraper in Manhattan, we got to say, wow, what a God that he could put into a man's mind to build something like that. Or when you get in your car going home, or you fire up your computer or something, you say, what a God that he could transfer this kind of knowledge to people. Or when you eat a great meal, or you go to a banquet like yesterday at the wedding, and you say, wow, look at this stuff. I wouldn't know how to make ramen noodle soup. You know, or this is tremendous. You give God the glory. God puts that in people's hearts. And you hear somebody play a musical instrument well or sing well, and you give God the glory. And whatever it might be, you know, somebody, and you have to be humble to do this, but you see somebody who sews an afghan or something like that, and you say, wow. Some of the things these ladies do with their hands, just absolutely amazing. Somebody that plants a garden. You say, wow, you know, what a God that he would make such a variety of plants and then give somebody the knowledge on how to assemble the thing to make it look so beautiful. There's so much. There's so much of God that you can enjoy in man. Somebody writes a beautiful poem, like what we read in Sunday school this morning, our adult Sunday school. What a poem that was. And you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for gifting that person to be able to use their talent, put it down on paper, and enrich my life. Do you ever understand how much your life is enriched by what God put in other people's minds? You know, at our house, we have these windows that tilt in. Some of you have them, vinyl replacement windows. That's kind of nice, isn't it? Somebody thought of that. God put that in somebody's heart. Now, when we don't give God the glory, problems begin in our society. Turn to Romans, next book. If you're in Acts, go to Romans chapter 1. It says this in verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God... Now notice their first mistake here and what this leads to. Just I'll read fast, but notice what it leads to. What's the first mistake they make in verse 21? What is it? They glorify him not as God. When they knew God, they failed in this sense that all men should glorify God for who they are and for what they can do. But notice what happens when we fail to obey this sermon this morning. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. There's number one. We're beginning the degeneration of man right here. Neither were thankful, number two. They became vain in their imaginations, number three. Their foolish heart was darkened, number four. Now notice how they begin to behave in verse 25, professing themselves to be wise. See, now they're starting to take the glory for it. They became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own flesh to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I'm not going to read the rest, but you read down verse 32, and you'll say, you know, that sounds like the society I'm living in. It just gets worse and worse and worse in man's behavior. But where did it start? It started when man no longer said, glory to God. Hey, wow, you're really good at sports. Yeah, you know, I think I am. No, it should be, hey, you're really good at sports. Well, glory to God. You know, he gives me the ability and he could take it away. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where the problems start. When we fail to be humble and we fail to give God the glory. See, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, God gives to man a sound mind. If you have a sound mind today, you should be thankful, and you should develop that mind. And you should not just spend your life in front of a television or video games and other things that destroy that precious gift God gave you of a sound mind. Develop that mind and see what God can do with it. I was amazed one time when somebody showed me the inside of an old watch. It had all those tiny little gears in that thing. Ever see one of them? Some of you have seen that before. It's amazing. I don't know if they do that anymore. Those old watches with the gears in that. And you know something? Here's how you look at something like that. God put it in some man's mind to figure that out. You ever think of that? God put in some man's mind, a sound mind. Turn to Proverbs 2 and verse 6. See, this is what I believe. Proverbs 2 and verse 9. I know this goes against the humanism of America. And that's the religion of our land, humanism. That man should get all the credit and all the glory for everything he does. But I don't believe that. I believe in Proverbs 2 and verse 6. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I don't care if you know how to change a flat tire. It's because God has given you a sound enough mind to be able to change a flat tire or a battery or a spark plug. If you know how to bake a cake, it's because God has given you the sound mind to be able to do that. And speaking of prophecy, which we've been doing on Wednesday nights, and more of you ought to come out, prophecy is history revealed before it ever happens. That's how great our God is. What a great God. He has revealed in this book history before it ever happens. And Wednesday nights we're studying that. But listen to this prophecy in Daniel. You say, you know, some of these things people were telling, I heard somebody talking this morning about the HDTV, whatever it is, and how real it is, how is it ever going to get better than this, and so on and so forth. Why is that? Why all these computers, satellites, communications, airplanes flying around, and all this transportation, and has man really gotten that much smarter in the last 100 years? Daniel, the prophet, says in Daniel 12 and verse number 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And then he says this, many shall run to and fro, that's travel, and knowledge shall be increased. God has said in his word that one of the signs of the last days is that knowledge will be increased. And they say now that because of the advancement of communications and computers, that knowledge is duplicating itself every 2 years in our world. Why? Because man's getting smarter? No, because God said so. God said this is how it's going to be in the last days. And so it's not man getting smarter and smarter. It's not man inventing computers. It's God putting in man and in women's minds and hearts so that his eternal purposes can be fulfilled on earth. We need to give God the glory. Now let me just make three statements on how we can do that. Number one, glorify God in your transformation. Glorify God in your transformation. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter number 12. And these points will go quickly, but try to apply them. Try to apply them to your life. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says this, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And I believe that means she had a mental problem and besides a physical problem, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. It affected her body and her spirit, if I'm reading this right. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Number one, glorify God in your transformation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. If you're saved, you are a transformed person. And you ought to glorify God in your transformation. You ought not to go around boast about how we pulled ourselves up from our own bootstraps and so on, but we ought to say, God did it. And I am what I am by the grace of God. It's wonderful. Nobody can argue with a good testimony. Nobody can argue with a good testimony. And if you live for Christ at home and live for Christ at school and live for Christ in your place of employment and live for Christ in the church and so on, now they might be able to argue with you, debate you. They might win 100 out of 100 debates they have with you over theology or science or whatever, but they can't argue with a changed life. And you and I ought to glorify God in our transformation. If all we can do with tears running down our faces is say, I can't answer your question, sir. All I know is the Lord changed me. The Lord saved me. And I'm so glad to be saved. They'll never be able to debate with that. This woman, she got healed and says she glorified God in her transformation. And then number two, we need to glorify God in the fires. Go back to Isaiah 24 and verse number 15. Isaiah 24, verse 15, it says this. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Notice that first statement, wherefore glorify God in the fires. Herbert Lockyer, in his book called Give Us This Day, wrote about this verse. He said, as Chrysostom was being led out to exile, he exultantly cried, glory to God in all events. And many other martyrs since him have been inspired to glorify God as literal fires consumed them as they were burned to death at the stake for their testimony for Christ. How do we act in the fires when trials, disappointments, adversity, and persecution surround us? Do we as Christians glorify God on this behalf? To offer praise not only for the things we like, but for the things that hurt, is to magnify Him whose grace is ever sufficient. And that the fiery furnace of affliction can be fashioned into a powerful pulpit is evidenced by the record of Paul, who would glory even in his infirmities and tribulations. Folks, I'm not the only one in this room who has a pulpit. Every one of you in your life is giving out a message. Every one of you in your life is preaching a message. And God brings you into the fires of life, the trials of life, if anything, so that people watching you will see how you respond. And it says, glorify God in the fires. Glorify God in the fires. Every one of us goes through fires. We go through afflictions, trials, testing. All this is to heat up our lives, to purify us from the dross, so we individually benefit and become better Christians through the trial. But it's also for the person who's watching us. Every one of us is a pulpit. Every one of us is a message. And we need to glorify God in the fires. Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. You know, if we would go into the fires of our life glorying God, I think it would do away with a lot of this complaining and bitterness we see in the body of Christ these days. We would just say, Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through here, but I thank you for it. And I glorify you for it, because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to this purpose. Something good is going to come out of this. Thank you, Lord, for letting this come into my life. You know, you have no idea who may have their eye on you. You have no idea. But you are a pulpit. You are a messenger. And then last of all, number three, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says in closing, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We need to be a moral people so we can glorify God in our bodies. We need to watch the way we dress, the way we act. We need to carry ourselves properly. We need to be dressed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful who we associate ourselves with and what activities we involve ourselves in as believers. So whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we can do all to the glory of God. Have you glorified God in your body? Why not start today? Maybe you say, I've sinned, I've done this and that, and I've had this habit, this addiction, and I'd like to overcome this. I'd like to glorify God in my body. Maybe you need to start by being saved. And when you're saved, God himself will come inside of you and be the source of power so you can function for the first time in your existence the way God wants you to function. Glorify God in your body. Folks, we need to be careful about this, that there's a lot of glory flying around, especially in our country. We need to be humble about it. Some of you are very talented people. Some of you are very well-to-do people. Some of you are very educated. Some of you are very handsome, very beautiful. Some of you have been very faithful. And you're very gifted. You're very brilliant. But all of us, no matter what our gifts are, how big or how small, we need to deflect the glory to God. We need to deflect all glory to God and say, well, thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it. And then, when it comes to our lives, we need to just glorify God in our transformation. Have you ever been saved? Man, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. Thank God I'm not what I was. As the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And some of you are doing great works for the Lord. We had teenagers out there. I heard a couple of our young men led souls to Christ yesterday at the Grape Festival in Silver Creek. For the first time in their life, last night, they got to lead a soul in Christ. Praise God for that. You need to make sure that never goes to your head. You say, thank you, Lord, for using me. God saved. If that person got saved, God saved them. Just, Lord, thank you for letting me be an instrument you used. Glorify God in your transformation. Glorify God in the fires of your life. Glorify God in your body, because there's people watching. And all three of these will help you be a powerful testimony. And it'll make other people come to one conclusion. His God is still alive. Her God is still alive. Let's glorify the Lord. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes and pray this in. I hope it made sense. Our Father, help us, Lord. We live in a day where man is glorified, a day of secular humanism, a day when the first thing we think of is exalting athletes and movie actors and rich people and talented people and gifted people and educated people, and we make deities out of them when the fact is they're nothing. Lord, we're all nothing. But you have given us gifts and callings and talents. And we thank you that people have developed those and have become very qualified to use them and become experts even. But Lord, if you hadn't given them a sound mind, it wouldn't have happened. If you hadn't poured in the wisdom and knowledge and blessed their study and blessed their practice, they would not be what they are. So all glory to God, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that man should not glory in men. We pray for humility in this area. And as all of us in thy body here grow, and you begin to use us, it's exciting. The Lord, may pride not creep in where we would rob you of the glory. For what you have done through us, oh God, help us. And now I pray for the salvation of souls this morning and for the application of the truth, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.